The idea is that you don't even travel on a Sabbath day. They have what they call a Sabbath day journey. That is the maximum distance you are allowed to cover on a Sabbath day. Even your horses are meant to be at home. Your animals were meant to rest. Nobody walked on a Sabbath day. It was from 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday, every 7 days. Then they had Sabbath years. You farm your land for 6 years. The seventh year, you don't farm it. And God said, this is how I'm going to do it. I'll bless you twice on the sixth year. So you don't even need something on the seventh year. Then they had the seventh and seventh, you know, year. That is the year of Jubilee. When you have observed the Sabbath 7 times, that next to the seventh one becomes the year, or the year after that is the year of Jubilee. That is a year in which not only don't you do anything, all debts are canceled. Let me explain one of the principles there. The land was divided among the 11 tribes, and they scattered the Levites everywhere. Okay, well, 12 tribes, because, what's his name? Joseph had 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, all right? Okay, so they divided the land amongst all the tribes, and you could sell land. So a man in the land of Judah could go to Ephraim and buy land, no trouble. But seventh, the year of Jubilee, the land goes back to the tribe of Ephraim. So you couldn't rearrange the map that God had drawn. You could only do it for about 49 years. After that, it goes back again. Now, even when you lend people money, maybe your guy says, look, oh boy, my business is doing badly, let me have some money. You give it to him. You can't collect the money once it crosses the year of Jubilee. You forgive all the debt. Now, there's a reason why all of these things are working like that. If you see the laws of the Old Covenant, a lot of them were signs to explain some spiritual principles. What God was telling them in effect, let me summarize like this, is it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. Observing the Sabbath was recognizing that it was God that was doing it. Are you getting my point? Those who did not observe the Sabbath, they were saying in effect, I'm getting these things by the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty. They were indeed trusting in the arm of flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there is a principle of rest, which is actually acknowledging the fact that God is the one that's blessing. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? Now, there is a spiritual side to it. Now, under the new covenant, God did not insist on every 7 days, because you will see, before the laws of Moses, they were not going every 7 days. Abraham was not going by that. Are you getting my point? But you see the principle of rest all the time. They contend with, for example, when Abraham refused to take the goods of the king of Sodom, all right? That was the principle of Sabbath. He said, lest you say I made Abraham rich. What he was saying, I don't have to work 7 days a week, all right, to get the things I'm going to get in life. You are getting that point. So, now I want us to understand Sabbath. Now, with God, Sabbath was very important. If you broke the Sabbath of God under Moses, they stoned you to death. And God was explaining the principle here that there remains a Sabbath, Paul explained, for the people of God. That is, there's something else that people will enter into. And that's what we have been talking about. We talked about it in previous times, the power of grace. I was going to say that. Did I even say just now when I started talking? That grace is, that is, observing the Sabbaths of God is actually depending on the grace of God to make progress in life. That's what I'm going to say here. So there is a way somebody walks that he's walking in rest. Of course, Sabbath literally means rest, all right? That's what he's talking about, the day of rest. So Paul said it like this, if you read Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, he said, let us labor to enter into God's rest. And we have explained that what it means. Now, rest, it manifests in different areas of life. For example, he said it's vain to rise up early and go to bed late. That's an everyday practice of rest. You know, I was telling King, like recently I found out something. That Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him that sent while it is day. The night come when no man can walk. What even if they have kerosene lantern or they have generator? Once it is night, the man is not supposed to walk. So I made up my mind that, you know, kingdom world walk used to keep me up late at night. I said, don't do that anymore. Two things to do at night now, I have found out, is one, sleep, and two, study, that is, eat. Now, not prepare messages, that is difference. That is, eat the word and pray. That's the only thing Jesus used to do at night. Rise up a great while before dawn to go and what? Pray. And there he will pray all night. So I found out that only 2 things a man is meant to do at night. Do you answer my point? That is, work is meant to end during the day. Now, that's the principle of Sabbath. Say, look, There are people who don't put their phone off at all. You never know when they will call you. Listen, if it's business phone, have a closing time for it. That see, any businessman that doesn't call at this time is not planning to call. Thank God for email. Say if he's calling from abroad, let him send email. I'm asleep. I always say, the business that will not wait till I wake up is not my own. Look, you're not the only one that God wants to bless you. Don't forget. You don't be greedy. Don't grab everything. The one that came while you were sleeping is for the guy who's awake. Simple. So my own will wait till I am awake. Therefore, the business phone should go off at certain times. And you must not come on before certain times. Those are everyday principles of what? Of rest. All right. Now, let's get back to this text we have been trying to read for a while. It said, if because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it desisting from your own ways. He said, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. This is how people manifest if they are believing that it is God that is going to bring to pass the things they are believing on this earth. Are you getting my point? The great tree that we have described earlier, that's going to grow out of the seed that they are sowing. Don't ever forget this. All Paul can do is plant. All Apollos can do is what? Water. As for the increase, it is only God that gives it. I said something when we were talking about Genesis chapter 1, when we began to study in the book of Genesis, that when God observed the Sabbath, it was not because he was tired. Can you remember that? What was he saying? The Bible said on the seventh day, God rested from his works. It wasn't like he went to rest because he was tired. That is, concerning creation, I have done all I am supposed to do. All right? Because he ended by blessing it. After putting that word of blessing, what he was saying, that everything that needs to be done on this earth, everything that needs to be created has been created. Any creation that will come after it will come out of something that already exists. Do you get my point? Please, that radio series we did, Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventure, if you listen to it then, I think you must take it as a personal companion. Because we talked about the first stage of sitting down, right? In which you sit down and count. It's those things that God gives you as wisdom for your salvation at that time that you plant, all right? After which you step into rest. Are you getting my point? Listen, for everything you want to do in life, I always say something when I'm discussing with my wife. I say, let us assume you want to sell recharge cards, all right? You ask yourself that if you want to be distinguished, because there's the masses way of selling recharge cards, you know what I say, masses. Just enter the road. What happens is that you share what everybody is sharing with them. And then somebody told me, recharge card business makes a lot of money. I'm telling my wife, listen, it's not everything that requires your participation. There is money in it, I know. But is there anything you want to add to it that they are not already giving it out there? She said nothing. I said, so don't let them confuse you. I know somebody made $1 million in Easter period. That's the person's problem. It's not everything that requires your participation. Are you getting my point? Now, there's a reason why I'm explaining this. So I explained then that anything you want to do in life, maybe you're a businessman or something, there is something you want to do. All right? If you are going to be outstanding, when you are starting, there must be something you are doing differently that other people are not doing. Listen, what I said, my wife and I will discuss that. I'll tell her, listen, if you are selling that recharge as an example, that why should somebody pass all the boys on the road and come to buy from you? You must ask that question. That will be the thing that you are planning to use to overcome. And now, remember we're talking about the visions of God. It's after sitting down and counting that God gives you a wisdom for your salvation. And listen, most people will say, it doesn't work like that. And once they start telling you like that, you should become more stubborn in your heart if you got that thing during the time of prayer and meditation. Because if it was popular and it all worked, it wouldn't make you outstanding. Do you get the point I'm making? Let me give an example personally. When I was starting out the ministry and launching our website, I said our books would be up there for free. For people to read. Hey, Sunday, somebody's going to print your books. I said, let them go ahead and print it. Now, this is the interesting part. I thought I was even doing something innovative. A few months later, or a few years later, I found out that there was a website called freebooksfordoctors.com. But my own is that, what is the goal in what I am doing? That principle I'm using is making that goal get achieved faster. Do you get the point I'm making here? Now, as you are not a minister, so you are not there to write books to hang for free for people, all right? But whatever it is you are doing, there must be, look, if you enter into a field and you are copying the way everybody else is doing it, you only beget Ishmael, you never beget Isaac. 2 Mondays ago, I explained the principle here. That when Hagar was given by Sarai to her husband to bear him a son, all right? It was not a new invention. It was a common practice there. What happened was that they had a rule in their society at that time that if a woman doesn't bear for her husband, she will take her maid and give to her husband. And the maid will bear children for her. So what brought forth Ishmael was that Sarai took the counsel of the population around. God said, no, I won't accept that. That child will not be outstanding. Listen, it took Abraham to pray to preserve the life of Ishmael. I'm not going to go over that. We discussed that one about two Mondays ago and last Monday. When he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee, he understood the principle that when the promise of God will become manifested, that one has to die. No, it's true. That was why he prayed and God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. It was a prayer of Abraham that sustained the weak life that was brought forth because a man of promise decided to use a popular method to try and get results. You are getting the point I'm making. Listen, that's the way it works. So, anything you want to do, ask yourself. Because if it's going to make you outstanding, you should know that not everybody will be doing it before then. And anything you want to do in life, before you step in, don't join the crowd. You must ask yourself, what do I want to do that they are not doing yet? I read the story of John D. Rockefeller then. He was a mean businessman. I mean, the guy was a bastard of a businessman. You know what I'm saying? That is, he used to go to church with bodyguards. That was how much people hated him. But that's not the issue. The issue is that the man in the petroleum business, he said everything was going, there was so much disorder. So the man came out to put order into the business. While trying to do that, he was stepping, of course, naturally, was stepping on toes. You know, he would come to maybe get to a particular company, say, you guys are not doing very well. They say, this guy will like it. All right. He will buy enough shares to enter the board. Then start, look, by the time you know, those of you that you have lost the company, he has pocketed it, he has paid money. People hated him for that reason. But what I want to bring out is that the guy set out to put an order into it. At the end of the day, he became the richest man in the business. Now, he didn't really start out purely to become rich. They said then, at least fuel that came out of standard, all they were using was kerosene. Petrol was an irritating byproduct because they didn't have cars then. Kerosene was all they needed to make light at night. They said that was what made the day longer. All right? Now, then, kerosene explosion also was common. Rockefeller's company was one of those that put standard in. So you are sure that if I bought a standard oil kerosene, it wouldn't explode. Now, you are getting what I'm going to say here. That is, there must be something you want to put inside. You can't just go and do what everybody else is doing. When you do that, you might succeed a bit, but all you beget is what? Ishmael. That is all. The Isaac that will carry the promise of God, that will bless all the generations of the earth, it doesn't come by doing what everybody else is doing. So, you know, this in this industry, look, that's why, you know, I like one thing, what's his name? I think this man, Donald Trump, said that he never believes in committees, that if people gather to give him advice, he doesn't listen. Pastor, but you said he has only gone for counseling once in his life. And in that counsel session, the person told him, you don't know how to preach. Did you hear? That is, they told him that he was not called to ministry. He said, since then, so he doesn't go for counseling. So when people come to him for counseling, he doesn't even understand what they're looking for. Are you following the one I'm making? The bishop would say something once, that once he went to see a man when he started ministry, the man told him that, you know, you are not called. The man, he said, out of anger, he left the man's house, closed the door, and said, I am called, and he drove away. Are you getting the point I'm making? You want to do something, not everybody will agree. And the fact that that's not the normal thing in that field before you came does not mean what you are doing is not going to bring forth results. Interesting enough, it will be slow initially. And so everybody will tell you that we told you. That is why you don't just take such steps. Because I always say, a crazy man and a man of faith, they look alike. No, it's true. So you must be sure that you are not a crazy man, but you are a man of faith. The only way you will know is that before you came out with that idea, you were in the presence of God. Are you getting my point? That is, you were in there praying and meditating. And most important, well, this is the way I see it. It normally be cooked up over a period of time. Not just wake up in the morning, boom, you suddenly have an idea. No. You've been observing the field. You've been observing. God has been, because this is how the Spirit of God works. It's been showing you, look at that. Things are not supposed to be like this. Look at that. Things are not supposed to be like this. They say, it's true. It's true. But you don't have the opportunity yet. When you have learned all the lessons, then God creates the opportunity. Then woe betide you if you drop all the ideas he gave you that made him create the opportunities to start using the one everybody has said is correct. Are you getting my point? Listen, this is how God promotes his children. He first gives you instructions. When you have learned, he creates opportunities for you to carry it out. That is, Saul, I have appointed you king. Please go and kill Agag for me. Do you get my point? He now gives you opportunity to kill Agag. If your kingdom is going to endure, oh boy, Agag must die. Agag must go. Are you getting my point? All the Amalekites must go. You are getting the principle. If you don't do it, you will most certainly lose that throne. Because you start competing with people on their own turf. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You start using their own methods to compete with them. And because there's no power of grace with you anymore. Anytime I see people starting things that people were doing beforehand, and they're trying to explain to me that this is how they do it. Maybe you want to do home movies. They say home movies don't sell. I say, in my mind, say, God, all you are going to beget is Ishmael. Listen, you must do things. He said, not loving their lives unto death. They said, this one won't work. He said, but I have to challenge the status quo. Do you get what I'm going to say here? He said, it might not. It let me die in the process. You get my point? Let me lose money. And look, I said, you can't obey God until you come to that point in which you don't care, even if you lost. No, you really can't obey God. No, I know what I'm saying. I said, this is how they do. This is how they do it. If that's how they are doing it, you should know that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many that travel on it. The one that leads to life says very narrow, and few are they that find it. So being amongst the few, it has not, is not new. It's a passport to progress. Now, what was I saying? So you see, now we read in verse 13. I was trying to bring out something here. So that wisdom for salvation, which we talked about then, it said, if because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, that is, in pursuing the thing that God wants to do through you, you are careful not to do it the way everybody does it or the way you like to do it. You are getting what I'm going to say here. It said, you desist from your own way, that's very lower down, and from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. It said, then you will take the light. What it was saying, that you will discover the light in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. Now, why I wanted to come down here is the fact that God said something, that I will make you ride on the heights. Now, people who want to see far, they go up to the heights. When Satan wanted to show Jesus Christ vision, what did he do? He took him to the top of a mountain, you know. That is how it is. That what God was saying here is this. To feed you with the heritage of Jacob, to give you great things in life, I make you ride. Are you getting my point? On the heights. I'm bringing out something here that to help you see far. Because we said something at the beginning, it is not everything that exists that people can see. The ability to see is a gift of God. Are you getting my point? And we are saying here that what qualifies you for riding on those heights, God is saying that one, your trust, you must believe in the Sabbath of God. What does that mean? That is, I'm saying that it's not by my labor that I'm going to get somewhere. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, these things are practical. It shows how you respond to... Look, everything that happens to you in life is a test. Listen, every good thing that happens to you in life is what? Every bad thing is what? a test. What matters in each one is how you respond to the situation. Are you getting my point? You invest money in the business and the thing vanishes. There's a way you can respond that God says you are not ready. There's another way you respond and say, man, God said this guy is good. Listen, I don't. There's really no money that's lost in life. It's buying you some. Do you understand my point? If it doesn't multiply itself, it's cash, it has bought you a lesson. Do you get what I'm going to say? No, really. Really. You know, even physics, they say it. The energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be converted from one form to another. No, that's a fact. That's just a fact. I'm explaining that everything that happens in life is what? A test. So God is explaining, why I brought that issue up is this. So if somebody who believes in the Sabbath of God, how you will know, one of the ways is how he responds to every situation of life, every challenge. I've had a situation before in which people are kind of maybe trusted, you know. We're trying to, you know, go behind to deny me of something and give to another person. And the person involved was feeling very, you know, like, you know, when I found out, when you see me, I went and called another of our friends. I said, go and tell that my friend that there's no need to feel bad. That whatever is mine cannot be taken away from me. That for that reason, I am not angry with anybody. I said, listen, I may have been disappointed in your personality. Are you getting my point? But that I am angry is out of the question. I started feeling bad for the fellow. Say, oh God, why is this guy feeling like this? If you knew who it was that you were dealing with, if you knew him very well, you'll have come boldly and say, oh boy, now wow, now only me and you, and this is the only one now. What thing will go do? And as God lives, I will have said, if you like it, take it. If you don't, I'll have it. Simple. And I'm, oh God. You know why? Because I know that there is nothing that is mine that can go somewhere else. If you go somewhere, you know, God helped me to understand that. I'm not the only blessed man on the earth. Do you follow my point? He said, that deal. Oh God. If I had gotten it, man, 10 million, I would have been in my hand now. Look at the guy who got the guy just a shine. He said, that means it was his turn to be blessed. Simple. You know what I mean? Why do you go and eat what is not your own? It's called stealing. Do you get my point? If it's not your blessing, don't cry over it. I have seen just like one position closed because it wasn't mine. At the same time, another one opened because that was mine. And in that one, I got immensely blessed. I can't give you details because, you know, these messages go very far. And so, all right. I've had another situation in which a man schemed, knowing something was coming. The day it arrived, he did not even remember to offer everybody. It was given to me by phone call. So, boy, please, something is up. Come. I want you to fill that post. When I finished filling it, he was like, look, this did not go the proper way. How did that guy get it? Because he had been scheming and waiting. I did not even know. Incidentally, the guy who wanted to tell me about it, he was calling and calling. My phone was off because I traveled. So as soon as I entered into town, I put my phone back on and the text dropped and it said, call me. It's urgent. When other people found out later, somebody was now grown because he had been scheming and fighting. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say. That is everything in life, that's how I respond to it. Do you follow the point I'm making? I always tell every young man, look, every young woman won't marry you. There's no fighting in it. I like to tell them all the time. So you thought it was God that spoke to you that, "Thee thou thine that my wife." And the guy said, "I don't think so." Ah! I said, "Okay, she will see. She won't see anything. She will not see anything. She will just walk out, marry somebody else. The wedding go look." And he said, "Okay, you will see." 10 months later, she go born to set of twins. Listen, my friend, it's not everybody that can be your. Are you getting my point? He takes away the first to establish the second. You must understand that principle. It's very important. That's somebody who understands the principle of what? Sabbath. God said, if you understand this, and for that reason, you watch how you talk. Are you getting my point? You stop following your own ways. Stop following your own ideas. He said, that is when I make you ride on the heights of the earth. You know what that means? Suddenly you start seeing what other people are not saying. Simple, that's what it means. You know, this morning, I picked up this book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. I just saw it somewhere. But I now picked it, read about 2 pages. And I remember the story there now, you know, of course, where the man was talking about how his rich dad, that is his friend's father, was teaching them how in their life, as 9-year-old kids, he wanted them to understand that a man must never work for money. That money must work for you. So he taught the young boys, by many ways, to work not thinking about money. Do you get my point? So this is how he first started. He started by paying them very poorly, extremely poorly. Actually, they work for 3 hours on Saturdays, and they give them 10 cents an hour. So he was waiting for them to get tired and come and complain. Two of them, this chap, Robert Kiyosaki, and his friend, the man's son. All right? So the 4th week, he got tired. And he went to tell his friend, I'm tired. This is your father. He's actually what they call him. A very wicked man. The boy just said, okay, my father said that when you get to this point, I should bring you to see him. The man was waiting for it. So he tried to educate him that, you see, what have you come to ask for? A raise. If you don't give me a raise, I'm going to quit. He said, that is how, he said, all these people that will be poor their lives, that's what they'll keep asking me for every time. A raise. If you don't give them a raise, they will quit. He said, more money will never solve your problem. It took the young boy a while for that to sink in. What's the next level? The next level, now you go back to work this time and I'm not paying you a dime. The man looked like, the little boy. This man, there must really be something wrong with him. He went back to work. Then he said one day, the old man came, called the two of them, that is his own natural son, and this boy, who's now Rebecca Isaac, who calls him his rich dad. It's all right. I want to give you guys a raise. 25 cents an hour. Is that okay? They looked at each other, man, that's good. The guy kept on increasing it until he got to $1 an hour. The guy felt like, why, my God, we'll be the richest that most of our adults don't even end up. No, they were feeling so happy. I said, if that's not enough, they didn't say anything. He kept on increasing. At the point in time, they realized that, no, this is getting ridiculous. Now, he was not saying something. They wanted to see whether they would let their emotions, all right, dictate how they rush for money. And I was very happy they were able to hold it down. At the end, he didn't give them anything. They went back to work. But he said something. One day, he noticed what he used to spend all his money on was buy comics. Then one day, as he was walking, he noticed that the woman in the shop was cutting the cover of some comics. And he called it, long story short, this has come out weekly. The one that's not sold last week is thrown away. So they removed the cover to prove to the publisher that it was not sold. All right? The boy said, so I can collect the one that you're about to throw away. He said, as long as you promise not to sell it. The boy said, no problem. Gathered all the comics and started a comic library where you paid money to come and read. As a 9-year-old boy. He started earning $10 every Saturday where he was earning nothing. Initially, he started him on 30 cents. Now, this is the point. He said, because of those lessons, he was able to see. That's what I'm trying to say. He saw opportunities that nobody else saw. If they had been paying him, he would not have seen those opportunities. Now, are you getting the point I'm making? You're following the point? That is ability to what? See. He said, I will make you ride on the heights. And once you have seen something, you know, we said that faith is no longer a problem. Because the ultimate thing is to have the perception of it. Because once you have a full perception, all right, then you know. That is why when you want to sit down, you don't check the chair. You just dress, style, how now? You're not looking and you sit. You know it's there. But if you couldn't see and say, okay, move back. All right. Move to the right. Maybe somebody is, you are checking the car behind. You say, keep moving. You can't see it. All right? You are using the voice of the person trying to help you park properly. You know, so when he says, keep moving back, you don't drive very fast. You keep on going once, you know. Now, so once you can see, actually, God knows that you had it made. But he said, this is how I get people to see. He said that they work with me. I'm going to summarize everything I'm saying in that area. Because next time I want to go into the next thing about how God changed the name of Abraham, talking about these principles of the law of faith. Now, this is a summary of it. What qualifies you to see, therefore? It said, if your heart is united with God and you're walking in his Sabbath. But there's a principle I want to bring out here. He said three things abide: faith, hope, and what? Love. He said the greatest of these, he said, is love. Now, there are two definitions for love. Love as every spiritual principle or spiritual entity has, you define it based on a number of parameters. Number one, the two parties involved and the direction in which you are considering it. That is, love of a man for another man is not the same thing as love of a man for God. It's defined by different things. Are you getting my point? The love of a man for God is defined by obedience. He said, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. Are you getting my point? The love of God for man is defined by blessing. He said, God loved the alien amongst you in that he gave him food and raiment. He said, for God so loved that he what? He gave. You don't give God as a sign of love. You obey God as a sign of love. Do you get my point? That's why you can't give God a gift he's not expecting. Oh God, I don't know that you get my point. You can't give God a gift he's not expecting. God does not love surprises. In fact, he despises surprises. Say, I'm going to surprise God today. It is you that will be surprised at the end of the day. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because for God, love is defined by what? Obedience. Now, there's the reason why I'm bringing this one out. Because while meditating over the last few days about this, I realized something. That I said before, faith. When God called Abraham, he was not a solid man of faith. You know, faith strong in his heart. No. 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 He had two things. That was all. One, love for God. Two, love for people. Period. Upon that foundation, God began to build faith in his heart. Have I lost you? I said before that faith is in levels. That depth of full persuasion, you can't get there if God doesn't personally teach you. You can't. You can't. The only one you start out with is the general lowest level faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is. The one that made Peter, James, and John follow Jesus Christ, yet in the midst of the storm, they were afraid. You get what I'm saying? If they didn't have any faith, they wouldn't be following him. But in the midst of the storm, even he said, ah, oh, you of little faith. That is, you have faith that is so small, all he can do is follow. He doesn't know anything. Just follow. But he said, if you follow, all right, that same faith will be built to a level that you will see a crippled man by the gate and saying, okay, I don't have any money. But in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That was the same faith that was afraid a while ago. It was God that built it up by himself. Are you getting the point I'm making? So we're back to square one again, the matter of love. He said, upon these two, all the law and the prophets, they are built. All right? He said, which one is the greatest of the commandments? He said, you shall love thy Lord, the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. And all that. He said, but it's the second one that's not, as it's not, which is not less great. He says, one on the same level, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, he said, upon these two commandments rests all the law and the prophets. I'm applying it like this. Upon those two principles of life also rests the power of God to build faith in your heart. Now listen to this again. There is nobody that's naturally of faith. I said this one to you before. Listen. The widow of Zarephath, all right? You know, we have made it look like the woman was a woman of faith. No. The woman was a woman that was used to giving bread and water to hungry people. It was based on her bread and water that she had been giving out to hungry people that God sent Elijah. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, maybe God warned her ahead. I don't know. What am I saying? The ability to believe the word of that prophet and do something that was so unusual was built in her by God based upon her previous behavior. You are following what I'm saying? What am I trying to explain here? We have been teaching so much about like love for Jerusalem. There are so many things I'm putting together tonight. We have been teaching so much about love for Jerusalem. You know, like you say, great peace have they that love thee. As an example, I talk about this power company. If you are a type that grumbles about the nation, as an example, and thinks the solution is to run to Ivory Coast, you will never see visions that build such things. What I'm saying, is it making sense? I hope I finally came out with it. All right, my time is also, I'm kind of rushing. That is, It's obedience to God and love for humanity. Do you get my point? Upon that is built the ability of God to impart faith into your heart. Are you getting my point? That is, God looks and says, what would this man do if I were to bless him greatly? Will he build bigger barns? He said, yes, he will. He said, then forget it. And listen, there are spiritual, look, the laws of life are very interesting. Why did God say, he put two angels, two cherubims, to guard the gate, all right, to the Garden of Eden? After Adam ate the fruit. Why? He said, so that he will not now go and eat the tree of life and live forever. That it was possible for Adam to go for that one too. What am I trying to say? If a woman grabs a spiritual law, even if God is not happy with it, he will see the result. For that reason, God told Isaiah, go and make them blind. He said, lest they see, and then they come back, and they are forced to heal them. He said, well, I don't want to heal them. Therefore, render their eyes blind. Make their ears dull, so that they will hear, they won't understand, they will see, they will not perceive. Do you get the point I'm making here? That is what happens to people. Is that when they have a wrong attitude in their heart, God consciously makes sure that they are blind. They can't see some things. Because if they indeed could see it, it will still come to pass in their lives. Your attitude with God is very important. God said, look, if I were to bless this man, what will he do with the blessing? If he has a wrong attitude, God will not enable him to come to the level of faith with which he can collect those blessings. In fact, the day he will have accidentally gone for a teaching where he will have taught it to him, the God said, no, he mustn't get there. They will quickly offer him a contract. He will be diverted to go and make quick money. Are you getting my point? Listen. Oh, God, it's now I understand. You can't just say, I want to have great faith. It doesn't work like that. It starts with two things, two basic things. Love for God, which is defined by loving his Sabbath. Not speaking your own word, he said. That is, you must not speak your own word. That's obedience to God. You must not go after your own ways. He said, if you have that, then I now personally begin to help you to see things. Listen, I've learned not to argue with people.